Nothing much has changed in the identification of potential employer compliance liabilities regularly targeted by HMRC. And let me look at some of these. The first one, PAYE and Class 1 National Insurance Contribution failures on payments for casual labour, round sum expense payments, or gross payments to workers wrongly treated as self-employed. Here, HMRC will seek recovery of the unpaid income tax, usually at the basic rate, plus primary and secondary Class 1 National Insurance contributions where the earnings exceed the earnings threshold. Within this sort of pay-as-you-earn failure field, we could have lots of different things. Casual labour, as I've mentioned, and we could have minor items such as topping up of mobile phone bills or Oyster cards. Next, they will target Class 1A on unreported or understated taxable expense payments or benefits in kind, often looking very carefully at company car and fuel benefits, which have been omitted from the returns. The question to ask, are there any company cars that have not been reported on Form P11D, and if not, why? Is there any evidence to support an argument that the cars are pool cars or that they're business use only cars? HMRC would really be looking for some strong evidence to support that. What mileage records have been kept, and are they good enough to satisfy HMRC that no private fuel has been provided? Remembering that only £1 of private fuel is enough to give rise to a company car fuel scale charge. Another question to be raised by the employer compliance officer will be the rate of business mileage reimbursement. And potentially there could be a settlement to be sought if excessive rates have been reimbursed. We have the statutory rates for directors or employees using their own cars on company business, which is still only 40p for the first 10,000 business miles and 25p for any additional business miles. If payments have been made in excess of those statutory rates, and or if any private mileage has been reimbursed, the excess should have been reported at Section E of the P11D return. There are no statutory rates for company car drivers, but we do have the HMRC advisory fuel rates that are published on its website and are normally changed twice a year in January and July. In the last year or so, we've seen quite a few changes to fuel rates, and so these rates have also changed. The question we need to be asking ourselves and our clients is whether we've paid in excess of those rates, and if the answer is yes, whether the employer has evidence to support a higher rate. For example, HMRC will accept large engine cars, 5-litre cars, for example, which are in the fleet, will require a higher rate of reimbursement. Again, if there's evidence to support the fact that the cars are used for driving at low speeds, urban motoring in towns and cities, that will support a higher rate of reimbursement being paid. Here again, the importance of accurate business mileage recording cannot be overemphasized, because HMRC will impose fuel scale charges on company car drivers if the mileage recording is poor. Another point the revenue will target is income tax and Class 1B national insurance contributions on amounts omitted from or understated in a PAYE settlement agreement, because these will be reviewed from time to time. They will look at statutory sick pay, statutory maternity pay, statutory adoption pay, statutory paternity pay. Student loans and tax credits will all be reviewed. And we need to remember that HMRC is responsible for policing the national minimum wage regulations. So again, questions to be asked of our employers or our employer clients, are we on top of these things? The construction industry has always been high on the agenda of HMRC, and nothing has changed on that front. Employers who are also contractors and probably subcontractors will continue to receive special attention when the taxman calls. They will be looking for untaxed payments and incorrect returns, as well as the employment status of subcontract workers, should any of the payments made have gone through the payroll. These are difficult times, and many employers are laying off workers and making lump sum termination payments that will come under scrutiny to the extent that they have been made tax or national insurance contributions free. Even when employees have generally been made redundant or otherwise lost their employment, any restricted covenant or contractual payments made on termination of the employment will be fully liable to income tax and Class 1 national insurance contributions. HMRC officers will also be looking closely at any tax repayments in lieu of notice or any compensation payment to see whether it is genuine compensation and within the exemption provisions. Another popular issue for review by HMRC officers is entertainment, looking for taxable staff entertainment, including the costs of meals enjoyed locally to the business that do not qualify as allowable business travel and subsistence expenditure, and any other meals which may be regarded as a reward and not as genuine business travel or subsistence costs. We have some exemptions for Christmas parties, but again, the rules have to be followed. Generally available to all, a limit of £150 per annum, which is not an allowance. Therefore, one party costing £160 would be fully taxable. Another issue which commonly crops up is that of non-qualifying share and share option schemes where pay-as-you-earn has not been operated and Class 1 national insurance has not been deducted. Revenue officers will be looking at this all the time. Now, that list is not exhaustive, but it includes some of the more common issues that HMRC employer compliance officers will be looking for when they visit your employer or your employer client. We must always remember that the PAYE and CIS regulations require an employer or contractor to pay over the amount of tax that is deductible, not just the amount of tax they have deducted, and that where there is any shortfall, it is likely to be recovered from the employer.